Open Door Church family. Call you guys blessed. Pastor Troy here, down here by Luckenbach, Texas, in the Kerrville area, coming down here to see how we can continue to rescue the rescuers and kind of just to get an update on what's going on. And guys, it's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. In both directions, you know, the need is so great. My goodness, it's so tragic. And the response is so great. My goodness, it's so wonderful. And in the midst of all that, in that terrible tension, is where we stand. And I would just want you to know, I just love you. And I praise God for everybody that supports our church and stands with us. And like, no, this is what we do. We are the hands and feet of King Jesus. You know, I love Texas, and I'm so glad that you do too. And I'm so happy whenever you stand with me and we rescue kids all over the world, or we rescue people in Africa. And, you know, we recently just rescued a whole group of people, all this kind of stuff. And but look at how godly Texans have responded for Texas. Guys, look, we will continue to do this. This is not going to go away quick, but we are answering this great evil with the goodness of the Lord. So from Luckenbach, Texas, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. I love y'all. Bye-bye.
Well, there I am, guys, down in Luckenbach, Texas. That was actually yesterday morning. Like, wow, like that's crazy. And so now it was the day before yesterday morning. I don't know. What day is this? Where am I?
Who am I?
I need to sober up. I'm a man of God. You know, it's not even 5 o'clock yet.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm already having issues.
It's so, guys, been a long day for you already, though. So
we have been filming all morning long, and we have. And, man, we've been filming a brand new TV show that is Rescue Stories. And so I've got the ODX, or I've got the Open Door Experience show, where we're seeing all over the planet Earth. And it's about pulpit teaching. And you know what I decided? I decided that there's plenty of pulpit teachers. I just decided that. And just go, you know what? What we don't need is, maybe we don't need more preaching of the gospel as much as we need more demonstrating of the gospel. And we actually are demonstrators. And I'm an okay preacher, but I'm a really good demonstrator, because I can point at a lot of, hey, the kingdom of heaven looks just like this. So we're changing our whole television format in the fall. We're making some radical changes, including a brand new TV show that's called The Counter. And that's going to be crazy cool. And if you guys are about to start seeing lots of clips, and we're about to start pushing that in a really big way, because that's just a couple of months out for our big red carpet event. Get ready, ODX. Get ready, Stage 3 partners, because I'm going to invite you to something, and I'm going to invite you to watch something special. The first two episodes with the actual speakers live here at Open Door Church. It's going to be crazy cool. We're talking about portals. We're talking about scary stuff. We're talking about the physicality of demonic things and how it's all made manifest, and how you and I can fight those things. Things that most people have traditionally been scared to talk about. Well, you know what? Not very many people say I'm very smart, but they do say he ain't scared. And honey, that is the truth, I promise you. I hate anything that has to do with the spirit of fear. I cannot stand it. So, guys, I want to welcome you here to episode 62 today. And you're going to want to hang with me, because in just a few minutes, I am going to have a first-time guest on here I've never had before, Craig Sawman Sawyer. Former Navy SEER, a SEAL, a guy that rescues kids all over the world, a guy I've recently become friends with, and I can't wait. We're both going to be sharing rescue stories and what Jesus is doing and rescuing kids all over the planet, and it's going to be crazy cool. So you're going to want to stay for that. Craig Sawman Sawyer is actually here with me today. And then also, since you just saw this thing of us down in the Kerrville area, you know, when I was down there on Monday, one of the guys that was at our house came to us, and he had GPS where he knows where there's 9 more bodies. There's 9 more bodies. He's like, we just came across 9 more bodies. Now they're trying to get the cadaver dogs in there to actually do this. And FEMA is prohibited in that, saying that there's nobody else left to rescue. That's our government and our tax dollars at work. There you go. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Anyway, in spite of the government's intervention, good people are down there doing the kingdom stuff, cleaning up messes and helping people. Well, if I could just talk to you guys, which, by the way, hello, Shay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm in a really good mood, and it's going to sound like I'm not here when I start talking about this. But you guys know that we did a huge work in North Carolina whenever the hurricane, which was a level 1, passed up 4 states and then became a level 4, which has never happened in the history of humanity. nothing nefarious going on there.
No.
I guarantee you that. And dumped 26 inches of rain upon the people of Eastern Tennessee and Western North Carolina. We went in there, as did so many other Christians that were mobilized. And there's so many ministries like ours that's all they do. They wait for a disaster to happen, and they try and get there before the government gets there so that they can make a real difference. We actually got ran out. And the government, this was under the Biden administration, yeah. And they actually came in. They ran everybody out. They started actually stealing our stuff.
That's crazy.
They started pulling over our truck and like, yeah, you know what? We need to go through this. We need. And they started stealing our stuff, you know, And then it's world renowned known that once they went in there and they had all of their DEI hires that went in there and went from door to door and said, hey, we're here to help you sign up. If they saw that there was a Trump sign, they ignored them. You know, they're just nefarious, demon possessed people. They're just really and truly, they all need a spanking is what they actually need. You're going to ask me. But then what they did was, okay, listen, we haven't allowed anybody to come to you to give you food, to give you clothes, to clean up your mess. We haven't allowed anybody to help rebuild. But fill out all this paperwork, and we'll give you a check for $600. And then I want to tell you what happened. They all got denied.
Wow.
So the same thing is going on in Texas right now. People are so mad over it. People are so upset over it. And like, yeah, it's the mess of the government. And, I mean, people are literally being refused services by Christian organizations, and they're being shut down because we're not quote unquote professionals. And then the professionals are staying there. And then what they're doing, they're saying, fill out all this paperwork, jump through all of these demeaning hoops, and we will give you a check for, wait for it, $600. And that's it. And then to add insult to injury, they deny them. They get denied after all of that. So there is a big work that we as Christians need to do, because it's not the government's job to do this. It is the role of the body of Christ to answer evil with the goodness of God. The government tends to answer evil with evil. That's what they tend to do. And the kingdom answers evil with the goodness of God. And it is the selfless service of many Christians that are down there right this second that are helping to rebuild lives, including Pastor Jerry Sellers is down there. And we took down $100,000 piece of heavy equipment. Actually, $140,000 is how much that tractor and all the implements cost. And we paid for that. When I say we, I'm talking about me and you together, all of us as partners, and we loaded that bad boy up and we took it down there. And the company, the John Deere company we bought it for, it's supposed to be $140,000. They gave us a $50,000 discount, which is hats off to John Deere. And all the implements that go with that. We already have a bunch of other heavy equipment that's down there. We have some more heavy equipment that's coming down as well, because there's a big mess to clean up. Also in the midst of that, you know, Sister Shay, that we partnered with a ministry that was an RV park that rescues the rescuers. They bring in pastors, give them a place to stay. Talk to them, as all of us do.
Yeah.
We don't want you to quit your church. We need small churches in America. We need them. And say, hey, man, so they did all that. They lost absolutely everything. We showed up there today, and we talked with them, and just to help them, because, like, you know what? They don't even have, like all their lawnmowers washed away.
They lost everything. From what it sounds like, their whole RV park got wiped out.
It did, including, you know, so it's like, okay, if we're going to get a new zero turn and give it away, that's $16,000 brand new. That's 16 grand. So anyway, the bottom line is, man, we give them a check for $10,000 today.
That's awesome.
And just bless them. You can see she's all gimped up. She's got something weird on the side of her head. You can see that, you know, her glasses are, you know, the water was all up there. And they lost absolutely everything. These are common people, and these people love the Lord, and they are incredibly selfless. Mm-hmm. And now it's up to us as the body of Jesus to step up. And guys, we're doing that. So jump in. Come on, jump in, man, and help us. Go to troybrewer.com and go to the giving tab there. Put it in the outreach and missions account and watch what we do with that as we continue to light the flame for King Jesus himself and saying, Jesus, our Redeemer, lives. And a lot of it's just a lot of practical hard work.
Mm-hmm. I love how God brings us to more rescuers that are rescuing the rescuers. Like, I love how of all the people, you know, we've linked up with so many different people as we're helping with this flood relief. And yet this couple that Pastor Jerry and Pastor Chris happened to meet, They just so happened to be believers. But not only that, they opened up this RV park because the Lord told them, hey, be a retreat center for pastors. And so I just love that of all the people in the world that we could be linking up with. And same thing with Jenny, our friend Jenny with a Full Moon Inn in Leukebach. You know, she's amazing and she's rescuing the rescuers. And so it's just, I love being a part of this work, and you just see God's hand in every little thing.
This week we got in the denture ministry as those old people that went in the water. The water literally swept away their away their teeth, swept away their glasses, and swept away their clothes off of their body, and also their hearing aids, and they still survived. I mean, that old man grabbed a hold of his wife and would not let go, so much so that he broke her arm and would not let go.
I love
you know what
them.
I love about this picture the most? Look, there's a bottle of Shiner Bock beer at the bottom of that. So.
Can we bring them? I feel like we need to bring them to Open Door because we've been talking about them so much. I feel like I know this couple. I want to know this couple.
Yeah, we do, man. We need to. You know what? That's a great idea, man. We need to bring them up here and put them on stage. Everybody celebrate them and love them. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're kind of becoming, I feel like they're becoming famous within our, our group here, within our church, within our ODX fam.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get them up here. What if we give them like a little staycation or something?
All right, let's do something cool. Okay. Let's do that. Well, that'd friends, I want to welcome you, all of y'all that have joined me from all over the world. And in just a few minutes, we're going to be going to Craig Sawman Sawyer.
Yeah.
And if you know who the Sawman is, you know that he's a guy that rescues kids. You know he's a powerful man of God. He's a former SEAL Team 6 guy, SEAL Team guy. He's awesome. He's an operator. He's a bad motor scooter, and he and I are going to have a lot of fun talking together. So, some say tomato, I say tomayo. So I know that there's people from all over the world, man.
Professor, I like your shirt.
Well, thanks, man. All right, here's why she says she's, because they went and bought me clothes today.
We technically went, it was last night at 8 o'clock at night.
Like, that's a good shirt.
We were FaceTiming.
They went and bought me, they went and bought me a bunch of clothes because we filmed a whole bunch of episodes of our new TV show. We filmed, I think, four or six episodes,
plus like 3 or 4 promos.
Yeah, and I had to change clothes for all those things.
It was fun.
And it was awesome.
It's fun shopping for other people.
I love that.
Bill, I don't have to talk to my husband about the bill.
Okay, so yeah.
That's even better, yes.
But your husband's not fat, your kids are not fat, and you're not fat.
Stop,
so y'all don't typically have to go to the fat man's section.
No, I went to the same store that I would have gone to for Joel.
Yes.
The same store and my kids. It was a cool store.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't give a rip. I promise you. It doesn't embarrass me one bit. I've been a fat man my whole life.
Oh my gosh.
It is what it is, man.
You can
I like to leave when I was in Chiapas, Mexico, I left a lot of my clothes there because we could move an entire Mexican family into
there. Oh my goodness.
That was what we just did.
You are too hard on yourself.
Yeah. Who's here?
Well, talking about Mexico and other countries, we got Mercy from India. We got Alaska. Linda from Alaska. We got Priscilla from Georgia. Joe from Maryland. Carrie from Kansas. KG from South Texas. We got Matt from North Carolina. We got Jill Jones. I love her. Joshua, Texas. Sarah Spencer. We got Don from Tennessee. And we got a lot of people tuning in. So please comment. Please share. What we love to say here in-house is this is how you are being a media missionary. This is how we could be the hands and feet of Jesus by sharing, comment, and liking. And also, we want to remind everybody that we have a 24/7 prayer line. So anytime during the show that you need prayer or you have a question or you just want to talk to someone and you need prayer, please call us at 877-413-0888. I love that we have real people on the other line waiting, and testimonies are coming at midnight, at 1 a.m., and I just love that we have this here in-house, and this is how we're able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So please, throughout the show, please drop where you're watching from, and we'll maybe do a shout-out throughout the show.
Okay, right on. I love that. I want to just tell you, one of the things that I say about all of my close friends is I don't have a single close friend that's not an awesome dad. That's like a really big deal to me.
Chris,
dad right here is a good... He's a good example of an awesome dad. He's an excellent dad. I know you're trying, man. We're all trying. And now, you know, I just want to be an awesome granddad as well, but I'm still a dad to my kids. You know, my daughter just came in here. She just needs some daddy time today.
Yeah.
You know? She's what? She's like, you're the same age. Yeah, she's like 46. You got her like 46? No?
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know.
You were doing really good.
Did you see the look? Did you see the dagger
crickets.
Look?
It's okay.
She just gave me.
It was cricket.
I'm like, come on,
like,
man.
I'm this at 46.
Aren't you like 32 years old or something?
I'm
34. 35.
Yeah, man, my socks are older than
35.
You.
35.
Like, come on, man.
Thank you for
so
yeah, we're really good friends, too.
So, okay. So, anyway, she's the same age as my little girl, and she just wants some daddy time today. Well, I want to tell you, I came across a video this morning that I had to share with y'all that I saw, and I was like, I totally get this, and I want to show you this, because this is a dad trying to be a dad that probably, I mean, he's trying. I mean, the brother is trying, and the little boy is so sweet, and well, let's just go to it right now, and I'll walk you through it. So here he comes up here. Here he comes. He's getting ready to ring the doorbell. Oh.
What are you? Can I help you?
No.
What are you doing here?
I'm really sorry. I was going to ding dong ditch you guys.
Oh, I was going to ding dong ditch you. I'm super sorry.
You're out here doing this. I will call him right now.
Yeah, he does know.
I doubt that.
What's the hold up?
I've been caught.
Run!
Is that your dad?
Yeah.
He goes ding dong ditching with you?
Yeah, he says it's a core childhood memory, and he wants to be a part of it.
Run!
Look, there you go. Run! Just run. This is how you do it. See, that's next level dad stuff right there.
That's amazing.
That's next level dad stuff.
That is amazing.
Like, run! Just run! Run away! I don't know why I think it's so funny.
Because that would have been you. I feel like that's you as a dad, 100%.
I was the king of that when I was a kid. And I mean, we didn't even have any neighbors. If I was going to go ding dong ditch somebody, I had to go like a half mile or a mile away, and you could get shot for being on their property. So it was a whole different, ball game for me.
You got to grow up how I grew up in Philly, row homes. So you got like 1,000 doors next to each other. Yeah. So you just go down the line.
No, we didn't
ding
have
dong
any
ditch.
That.
But
another thing too, that everybody had. All my friends, all their daddies worked for Miller Brewery. And when I was a kid, I mean, everybody's dad worked for Miller Brewery. And if you worked for Miller Brewery, they gave you several cases of beer free every single week.
Oh my God.
And so everybody had about 10 refrigerators in their dadgum, in their garage, and it was all full of beer. And so, man, when I was a little boy, man, when you went over to people's house, you stuck in their garage and you stole beer out of their refrigerators. And I'd be running across the field, yelling at me. Yep.
That's amazing.
Those are my childhood memories. I don't know about you guys. No, that's not
true. Rebecca's like, no.
Everybody's looking at me going, oh, we really cannot identify.
And clean the church restrooms. That's what I was doing.
You were cleaning the church.
I'm just literally thinking of everything I would do.
We were doing cannonballs.
We was literally right. Our house was right by the church. So we woke up, we ate breakfast, and then we had to go to church. And we cleaned or we got ready for church. Like that was, I didn't get to even to do the ding dong.
Listen, I think I had a better childhood than you. I'm just telling
probably.
You.
Probably.
Yeah.
Also too, I mean, this is so redneck and hillbilly, but this is truth. The farmer that lived next door to us, he came by on his tractor and I was playing. I had a G.I. Joe and I had a Evel Knievel, I loved my Evel Knievel and I was setting up ramps and everything. Well, it was the summertime and I was over by his fence and my pants were too big or something, and I was a little bit exposed in the back. And instead of him, he stopped the tractor and turned it off, and he yelled at me and told me to pull my pants up, and he was tired of seeing my butt and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, what the heck, man? It appalled me. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, sir. And I pulled him up, and I was telling my friends, and I was like, dadgummit, that guy is mean. He is so mean. So he came over. Well, he had all these black Angus cows. And we got out there in the middle of the night, and we got white spray paint, and we wrote "Eat Me" on every single one of those cows.
Okay, is cow tipping a thing? Because I always heard about cow tipping.
I mean,
is that actual thing?
Say it is. I never. All of our cows were wild, and they'd kill you. So we ran out there and we spray painted. I wrote
That's
ugly
hilarious.
Things on all of his cows, and that was how I was like 10 years old when I did that.
Well, Brewer,
guys,
wow.
Welcome, guys.
We're a wild
bunch. This special edition of The Pulse.
Yes.
And I've got a video I'm going to show you. And then when we come back, I'm going to go to Craig Sawman Sawyer, my very special guest today and first-time guest. I can't wait to talk to him. Watch this.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem. And it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing.
It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.
Well, friends, Craig Sawyer is known as Sawman, and I actually got to meet him recently. I was at Church of Glad Tidings somewhere in Northern California, I think Yuba City, California. My good friend Dave Bryan, who I love. We were at the Rev 17 conference, which I'm so grateful that he changed the name from the Whore of Babylon conference to the Rev 17, because the brother has no sense whatsoever. And loved him, loved his church, was so compatible with his people. And then this guy walks up and starts talking to me. I'm like, dude, this is Saul Man that I'm actually speaking to. I couldn't believe it. If you don't know who he is, you're about to love him. So I want to tell you, he's a former Navy SEAL. He's a federal operative, and he is the founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. He knows a thing or two about rescuing kids. He's traded battlefield combat for a frontline fight against child trafficking right here in the Grand Ole USA, and he's running covert operations. He's working with law enforcement. He's sounding the alarm through his documentary, Contraland. That's what his documentary is called. So his mission, well, he likes to expose evil. He likes to rescue kids. He wants to mobilize the church. And he's here with me right now, Craig Sawman Sawyer. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, bro.
Gosh, I'm amazed you're with me today, man.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good chat. There's a lot to cover, a lot going on. So sure appreciate all that you've done.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, man. We're in it. You know, we're not skilled operatives like you are, but we work with a bunch of guys that are. And yeah, we're in the fight, buddy. And I appreciate all that you've done. And I'm just so proud of you, man. Just proud of your work and just so grateful for you.
Well, I feel like I'm growing and learning so much in the Lord. I mean, there's a whole thing. You can't get too deep into investigating child trafficking and trying to do anything about it before you realize it is a spiritually motivated crime and a spiritually protected crime. And that's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
I'm trying to, you know, I've been a federal criminal investigator and trying to deal with this factually, you know, kinetically, the way that you deal these things legally. And, but also there's the spiritual aspect that just cannot be ignored if you really intend to be maximally effective against this. So that's where I was attracted to you, brother, because I saw you in the fight and I saw some of your interviews online. I'm like, okay, this brother gets it. He's in it, and he's a true brother in the Lord.
Well, thank you. Well, that's what I thought about you as well. No, man, we recognize each other because we know we know what it is. And man, brother, you nailed it. It is spiritually motivated, it's spiritually protected, and that's what's real. I was rescuing kids for a long time. Before I connected the dots of how real it is that this is a global thing. And I mean, I rescued these kids in Nepal and was with them for a long time, was with them for a couple of weeks. And then from there, I left and I went to Uganda. Then we rescued some kids there. And then from there, I went to Mexico and rescued some kids there. And they had all been through the same exact protocols.
They've all been standardized.
Yeah, it is so standardized, man. And that was the first time I remember it just dawning on me and connecting the dots. And then we started to get into all the weird stuff and how that they had been ritualized and how the devil manifested in the midst of all that. And it was the same thing all over the planet Earth. So I've never heard anybody say that, what you just said. And I appreciate what you said, because it's real.
Well, that's when I founded Vets for Child Rescue, I started out just to make a documentary to expose it. I thought, okay, if I expose the enemy's covert operation, because I saw that child trafficking, according to a friend of mine from the CIA that we were burning cigars in Spring, Texas there, got several agents, friends of ours from different agencies. And the one friend of mine that I'd known for quite a few years told me that he said, you know, Craig, Houston has grown to be the hottest epicenter of child trafficking in the country. And he began to describe to me what that looked like. And then one of the other agents said, you know, you're going to go at this. Cause I said, okay, I'm in, that's my fight. That's worse evil than international terrorism. Cause they're targeting specifically the most precious, the most innocent, the most defenseless, because they're innocent, because they're precious. And that's spiritual. And he said, yeah, you're after years of this, chasing it with a badge and gun and traditional investigations, you're just going to find that you're not quite finding what you're looking for, because this is a high level Luciferian network. And they do a lot of blood sacrifices, and they are the recipients of a lot of protection. And you can penetrate, but only when you learn to penetrate spiritually can you get the actual arrest of the big guys and all that. So that's when I realized I needed to grow up spiritually and become more like my daddy, Pastor David F. Sawyer, of House of Faith Church in Spring, Texas. And my daddy had just passed away. And I realized the father was kind of bopping me on the head saying, okay, you're a warrior of one type. Now it's time to awaken to another level of warfare, the bigger level, so that you can have the impact that I intend for you to have. And I was like, oh, okay, Father, let's go. Let's go. What do I need to know? And he's basically like, everything. You need to know everything. To dig deep in my word and build your foundation. I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's basic stuff. I grew up in church. I heard thousands of my daddy's sermons, and he Jesus for me, and I'm okay under his banner of Jesus. And so let's go do high level, tier one level stuff against the wicked. And he's like, read my word, son. Read my word, build your foundation, because you need to be really strong in that. And that's your muscle memory. That's when you deliver the word. It is written. How quickly can you say it is written and mean it and speak the word against whatever you encounter? That's what I need you to have. That's your draw stroke. That's your quick fire. And so it's been that, brother. It's been that building of the foundation, the fundamentals for the fight ahead as we get deeper into these higher level investigations, disrupting hundreds of billions of dollars in criminal organizations, all of whom also traffic children. So it's been an intense awakening process, man.
I guarantee it. I totally get it, man. I didn't mean to get off into all this. It's just the Lord brought it to me and I couldn't get away from it. You know, I just couldn't, because we travel the world and because we build food banks and all the things that we do. And then everybody thought that I was a sexual tourist because I was a middle-aged white guy coming from America, stomping around in the worst places in the world. Sure. And people just started bringing me kids. Like, well, you want to buy these kids? And I'd say, sure, I'll buy them right now. Let's go. And then walk away with them. Yeah. Get them out to the car and say, man, you're going to remember this day for the rest of your life.
And then just change, little one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And having that conversation and seeing that the lights are on, but nobody's home, and they didn't get it. And they still thought that I was going to sexualize them or some terrible thing. And like, you'll see. And then getting them to the place and then actually seeing how quick they bounce back once that spirit is taken off of them. And once they're given an identity as a child again, and I quickly learned the governments are never going to shut this down. This is a kingdom issue, and the body of Jesus has to be involved in it. I quickly learned. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, like you, you know, we work with the authorities, we work with people. I mean, my thing is I like to become friends with attorney generals throughout the world and back them up 110%, and then find the prosecuting attorneys and then find the operatives, because they're incredibly underfunded and then they don't have a place for the kids to land. So we build places for the kids to land. We get them going. We rescue those guys. They're doing the stuff. And then we actually raise the kids. And that's kind of what this thing has kind of morphed into over the years. And so I believe in that. I truly do. But this is, I mean, we've had, you know, I don't want to go off on a bunch of weird stories, but I mean, we've had literal physical demons show up and speak to us. We've had next level demonic cartel guys show up, literally knock on the door of the hotel where we're at and went, yeah, we're just doing a bunch of witchcraft. The devil told us that you're here and we're here to tell you, we know you're here and you need to get out. Like, you know, I mean, they're getting our name, they're getting our address, they're getting all kinds of stuff. And I became aware very quickly, if they can do that on the demonic side, then we as the body of Jesus, we can get together and we can work with next level operatives like you, and we can get intel and we can get spiritual protection and we can take on hell with a water pistol.
And the creator, our mission commander is the creator of all of our enemies.
Come on.
He's the creator of us and all of them. Mm-hmm. They don't have any power that he doesn't allow them temporarily. So, brother, it's that. And I started off just to compromise the enemy's covert operation. It's child trafficking is a covert operation run domestically at industrial scale. And it enjoys a lot of corrupt top cover. And so I founded Vets for Child Rescue only because I wanted to make the documentary, and none of the big Hollywood execs would support the funding or the making of the documentary film.
Why? Like,
yeah, that's God's work, Saul. Yeah, we'll do this. You know, I'm like, okay, because I'd work with them on other productions and everything, and they just were slow rolling me. 3 years into that, I realized they're never going to help me. They don't want to help. It's going to be on me. Mm-hmm. And so the crowdfunding big tech platforms literally did active blocking of us to crowdsource the funding of Contraland to make the documentary. So I finally had to found a nonprofit org, Vets for Child Rescue, to rally the funding to make the documentary. I was going to make the documentary and alert the populace. Here's the truth. I'm sorry, but let's all revolt against this evil harm to the children, and God can heal our land. Let's drive this from our culture and make it safe for the children. Well, in the film in the doc, we started learning we could run sting operations and started arresting the predators and taking them off the game board and putting them in prison to rape no more. That was really, really good. We wanted to start rescuing a bunch of children, and we started seeing that a lot of people in that space were corrupt.
Yes.
And that the laws in CONUS domestically are you need a power of attorney by the parents and a warrant by law enforcement to go and move a child, or you're guilty of kidnapping or basically false imprisonment. So we're like, oh, it's like the deck is stacked against us rescuing children here. We've rescued a few, but it's always in ways that kind of doesn't fit right into that exact legal template. So we're grateful for all that. But our main thing is alerting the populace to what's going on, change legislation, change our educational system, and then directly interdicting their money, directly interdicting their child trafficking operations, are putting their players, their traffickers, and the predators in prison. So that we can do. So that's what we do. And man, as many rescues as we could get, we're doing. And our new investigations and intel team are learning from some other allies of ours who, I know you know and love like we do. And we're just growing in our capability and just trying to serve the Father and just try to make it not such a nightmare for the little ones. It's we're in crazy times, but it's a privilege to serve.
It is. I call it a terrible privilege.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
People don't want to know.
It's a terrible privilege is what it is. I actually had a dream that these two guys were talking to each other, and one guy was saying, "Hey man, we rescue kids. We take on the cartel. We take these kids in, we feed them, we take care of them, we raise them." And one guy asked the other guy in my dream, "So what's that like?" And he said, "It's a terrible privilege." And I woke up and I wrote down that phrase. I'm actually writing a book of rescue stories. It's called A Terrible Privilege. And that's what I call it. And it truly is. And so, hey man, can you tell me about the first time you rescued somebody, or one of your most recent, or one of your most favorite or most impactful? Tell me about
The first one. We were just filming our documentary Contraland, and a guy that was running the production at the time of Contraland reached out to a nonprofit org in San Diego that advertised that they rescue children. And, our con man talked to their con man. They were both con men, come to find out in retrospect. "Hey, do you rescue any children, in the near future? We want to film it for a documentary we're going to make." The one guy in San Diego said, "Yeah, we got one, but she's in Visalia, California, and she's a horrible way. They're drugging her up, and they're, basically gang raping the girl, and her mom's broken about it, and her mom's there, and we know right where she is. We got a warrant from law enforcement. We just need $3,500, and we'll go get her." And our con man said to their con man, "You'd rescue this girl and stop the nightmare for $3,500? He said, "Yeah." So we came up with the funding and made that happen. Went to go film it. Went on a wild goose chase for 3 days and nights. And then that org, that fraudulent org, went back down to San Diego, bailed right out of that operation, left the mother there in tears. And so I befriended her. gave her my contact information, prayed with her, called all the local law enforcement, updated the missing information for the girl, and got a phone call like 6 months later on Easter Sunday. And she said, Craig, it's Allie. She's alive.
Wow.
And I said, and she said, do you want to talk to her? I said, are you kidding? Yeah. So she was on the run. She hadn't been to California at all. She was in Texas. She was in El Paso, San Antonio, Texas. And I'm looking through my Rolodex and I got a guy that's got aircraft in Orange County. He said, Craig, anytime, anywhere, I'll bring and move your personnel, rescues, recoveries, whatever. I'm reaching out to him. He goes, I got one that's available, but it's getting a nose gear and then an inspection. It probably won't be wheels up until midnight. I'm like doing the math on that. My wife's looking at travel, who we can get where to San Antonio. I'm looking through my contacts list. I'm like, Teresa, what's the drive time? And typing it in. Okay, it's about this many hours. And I'm looking through and I'm like, thank you, God, Jack Farmer. Jack Farmer is the real Jack Ryan that Tom Clancy wrote about.
He was a
bit of an amalgamation between three different characters, but the strongest of which that he based about was the real life of Jack Farmer. Well, Jack actually lives there. And I called him. I said, Jack, where are you on the face of the planet? Because he's in all these think tanks and still active all around the world. And he said, I'm home. And I said, hey, this one girl that we've been looking for, she's there, she's on the run from her pimp, can you intervene? And he said, I'll grab my wife and we'll go get her, Craig, right now. And so he did, and he expertly picked her up, moved her out of the place. Her pimp came in, it was actually at a bus station, he was looking all over for her. They gave her something to eat, scheduled her on a red eye transit. I called the mom, said we got her, sent for the mom to our home in Tucson, brought Allie to us through that bus line, got her very early in the morning, recovered her, brought her home, and her mom came, and they reuned right in our living room. And
that's outstanding, man.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
You know, and it's not always a Cinderella story. I mean, we got her her own bank account. We got her a good little job. We got her a GED, got her her driver's license. In such a beautiful place. She was in church. Everything was going good. And then another psychopath lady came and basically said some things to her and scared her and spooked her, accused the girl of all kinds of things. And she bolted and she went back into their life for a little bit. And then now she's recovering and doing much better, working honest work. And it's been many years now, been like 7 years. So,
well, that's part of it, right? That's part of it. And that's one of the things, man, I'm trying to explain to everybody is the thing that everybody wants to hear about is the rescue, which I do too. I want to hear that. And I want to tell those stories. But the deal is once you got these guys, you can never take your foot off the gas pedal. It's an ongoing commitment that is so open-ended because it's individual for the age and for the person and for the culture and the language and the situation of every single kid that you get. And it has to be, man, you got to stay in the fight, you know, and that's a prime example of it right there.
Yeah, we still love Allie and pray over her. And I think God's going to have a beautiful testimony when she's really ready to just completely tell it all. And, you know, there have been others that around the country, and one that was in Virginia back, some of my SEAL team buddies, was another guy in that community. His daughter turned up missing. We were able to get her back within 48 hours.
That was
cool. There's just, you know, things that come up and the arrest with some of the people that we arrest, people don't expect to be arrested with. Some of the places we run our sting operations, the wicked least expect it because they enjoy like a territorial impunity, it seems. And mm-hmm. So when we make an arrest of someone who's been FBI, his Department of Treasury, IRS, and he came for a mother-daughter team, and he brought a birthday cake for a 12-year-old girl turning 13. And you arrest him and put him in prison, people don't expect that. They expect you to let him go because, you know, well, some people, their title, their rank, you don't arrest them like, he's a predator. He came for a girl.
Yeah.
Came for a little girl. And this is not the first time.
Yeah.
People do these things. An LDS church elder.
Yeah.
Whose family called us and thanked us for stopping his raping binge on his family members. He was 73 years old. You see him in Contraland. He came for two little girls. He wanted to pay to rape them one at a time and then both together. And it's just, and a judge let him out. Like a couple of years later, a judge said, oh, he's too old to be a threat. I'm like, you didn't see, judge, apparently, all the evidence of our case where he showed up with a pocket full of Viagra and sex lube and cash for two girls. Like, how can you let him out and say he's not a threat? I mean, just, but you know, that state, that was in Utah. So do the math on what leverages may be in play there. So it's just, it's a learning process for us to make these cases stick, because that dude should have been the rest of his natural life in prison, period.
Speaking of the math, man, what we have found is that, okay, if somebody traverses the web and if they find and if they get into child pornography and they get into that mess and then they decide that they are actually going to act upon it, if they ever act upon it one time, so let's say that, okay, they go to this site, they go down the board, they use their Instagram, they're down there at the border, and this went through all through the Biden administration. Just every pedophile that there was went straight to the border because they could go back and forth across without any kind of impunity. And get on their Instagram, they say, okay, we've got this child, this child, this child. Show them the videos. And yeah, I want that one and that one. Okay, we'll come across, get you. We'll take you across. You pay your cash. You spend the day with this child, and then you go back home. If they ever did that once, they would do that at least 70 more times before they were caught. 70 times, 70. So well, it's so important, man, for us to interrupt this thing and to jump in on it and to actually interrupt it. You have to.
You know, anybody in the recovery business or the counseling or incarceration and people that work the prisons, they'll tell you that pedophiles are irrecoverable. Like, they're like, just kill them. You can't let them in loose in public. They'll just continue to rape because it's a serial behavior. Brother, I think their observation is accurate because they're not understanding the one way that they can be delivered from that. You and I both know it is demonic. It is not a natural sexual urge to do anything to a child. They have no features that would give you the indications they would give you healthy offspring, right? Nothing natural about that. It's supernatural and is directly from the fallen. This is a demonic inclination, and it will not stop unless that person is delivered specifically from that type of torment. So I believe that people can be delivered from pedophilia, but that has to be a genuine deliverance and an active pursuit of the Father's kingdom and not anything less.
Friends, I'm talking to my good friend, Brother Craig Sawman Sawyer, and he is with me now on The Pulse, and we're about to go behind the veil. And whenever we go behind the veil, we're going to talk about some of this stuff that might otherwise get us thrown off of our social media stuff. So if you want to continue with this conversation, man, you just got to go to odx.tv, which is my own platform, and go there. And he and I got a lot of cool things to talk about. And I want to talk about some of the spiritual warfare that goes with this. I also want to talk to you about some of the rings that we have come across and just how embedded it was in the governments and those kinds of things. I want to talk to you about some of the ways that they trap kids. And then what do they do with these kids? When these kids, I mean, what's going on? I actually want to talk about that. I want to talk to you about that. So, friends, this is Craig Sawman Sawyer. And if you want to find him, just go to his website. What is your website, buddy?
V4CR.org.
V4CR.org. V4CR.org. And encourage you guys to look him up. I hope that in the future he and I are going to be doing some cool stuff together. I hope I can talk him into coming out here to Open Door Church and hanging out with me. I'm hoping I can get him to come to the ranch and blast some pigs or blast some other animals out there and spend some time with us and maybe even some of our veterans and our veterans ministry. I might even bring in some of our rescuers. I might do that because that's where we bring our rescuers to as well, just to keep them in the fight. You know, I mean, we got to constantly rescue the rescuers. And
let's make it happen.
Okay, buddy, let's do that. All right, listen, I'm going to go to a video right now. And once we go to the video, when we come back, this will be exclusive on odx.tv. So, my friend, do you have anything you want to tell everybody?
We're preaching tonight at Open Door Church at 7 p.m. CST. So if you're in the area, come on in. He is here. Or if you're watching online, you can watch on YouTube, odx.tv, or any of our other platforms. And also, he will be continuing his new sermon series, Undercover Boss. If you have not rewatched, I want to encourage you, rewatch it. Sermon notes are incredible, and you're not going to want to miss this new sermon series. And also, just a shout outs. We have Uganda, India, and Alaska. Thank y'all for tuning in. Please comment where you're watching from. It means so much to us. We love you guys.
All right. So guys, let's go behind the veil. But first, watch this.
We have spent two full days filming here, guys, and now we're going to begin the editing process. But the unedited version, guys, is going to be camped out at odx.tv.
Nations going against nations.
Now, what we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now.
It's this hopeful expectation.
But something charging directly at us.
Anytime the name of Jesus was mentioned, these beings would flee in terror.
Bell worship, sex magic, human trafficking, pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it.